Welcome to another episode of From the Sidelines. I'm Gianna Franco. This is brought to you by Xfinity. Xfinity makes it simple, easy, and awesome. And speaking of awesome, joining me is my guest for the week, a former 49er, Ian Williams, and the newest host and contributor to 95.7 The Game. Ian, welcome to 95.7 officially. How's it going?
Thank you. It's going pretty good, but I think you're the awesome one about to give birth. Very soon. So I think you're the awesome one.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, my due date is literally 24 hours away. So fingers crossed this happens sooner than later. I thought it would be really fun to, you know, let the listeners know a little bit more about who you are behind the scenes, because obviously you had, you were with the 49ers as a nose tackle, and from there you made a transition into broadcasting, but maybe a lot of people don't know that you're from Florida, you played at Notre Dame, and all kinds of other stuff. So we're going to dive in deep, all right, Ian?
All right, cool. Sounds good.
Starting with my most difficult, the hardest question I could ever think of watching, what's your favorite food? But really, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food. I would have to say some kind of Italian. I'm really simple. I love spaghetti. I love lasagna. Pizza, burgers. I'm really like an American Italian kind of guy. I like it all. It's like really no food like I don't like.
Really? Do you like to cook?
Yeah. I rarely cook. I can't really cook that well. I've made chicken wings before, and that's really about it. I can do an egg and, this and that, but I'm not really the cook like, most people are.
So when you say you love Italian food, and I mean, you pretty much eat everything, do you have a favorite dish that somebody makes for you? Like maybe your mom or your grandma or someone close to you used to make like a dish that you absolutely love?
Oh, definitely spaghetti.
Okay. Well, very cool. Well, spaghetti's not that hard to make. If you ever need to learn, there's lots of recipes online, Ian. It's not too hard.
Cool. Yeah, you too. I know.
All right. Well, if you are born and raised in Florida, you were a standout player in high school. Did you always think you'd make it to the NFL?
I always knew that was my goal to making it. I didn't want to do anything else. That was on my mind at the time. Only football, only sports, only making it to where I needed to make it. I knew I wasn't going to be able to pay for college. My mom worked, two, three jobs just to make ends meet. So I knew, that was my way to get to college. So I wanted to go to a good school, just in case, I didn't go to the NFL. So, that's why I chose Notre Dame. And I had other great schools that I was, thinking about going to, but also had great academic institutions.
Well, you ended up going to Notre Dame, right? I mean, that's a wonderful school.
Yeah. It was a great decision. Looking back at it, one of the selling parts of being at Notre Dame is, it's a 40-year decision and not a, 4 or, 5 or 10-year decision.
Yeah.
It's a life decision, and it was great to, be able to be a part of that campus, be a part of that tradition, be a part of that alumni base now. I've been able to give back to guys who are on the team and, just now starting to enter into the business of corporate world outside of football. So it's a blessing to be able to go to that school and, say that I went to Notre Dame and I'm an Irishman.
Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, it's, it's an incredible education, obviously an incredible football program as well. So you played in the NFL. What was the hardest part about being in the NFL? I know everyone has that dream, especially if you're, an athlete and you're a standout athlete. But what was the hardest making that transition from college to the professional league?
I just want to say probably the tempo and the competition. Now you're, instead of you being, kind of in the same age range of guys, when you're in high school, you're 13 to, or 14 to 19 or whatever it may be. And then, college, you're 19 to 23, 24 in that age range. But now, your age range is from 20 to, 45 now. You know, guys are playing to the 45 and stuff like that, deep into the 40s. So it's a different type of competition that you're going against. You're going against guys who, have families and stuff like that now. You're not going against guys who have tests on during the week or in high school. They're dealing with adolescents and stuff like that and dealing with growing up. And you're dealing with a whole different type of beast and with competition, with older competition.
So from the NFL, you played with the Niners. Unfortunately, an injury is pretty much what sidelined your career. But you made this transition into broadcasting. Was that always going to be the plan regardless? Like you'd spend your time in the NFL, and had you played even a little bit longer, would you have gone into broadcasting eventually?
I definitely did not want to go into broadcasting.
Really?
I'm totally honest with you. But when I got to college, I wanted to get into business because our business school at Notre Dame is one of the top in the country. So I wanted to get a business degree, business management type of degree. But I'm not the greatest in math. I'll be honest with you. Every other subject I rock at, I kill it, and I'm really good at. It's math. I don't know what it is. You know, I obviously I understand the basics, but just the trig and calculus and stuff like that. When you start to really get up there and that type of stuff, I really struggle with that. So you know, I had a meeting with our advisor when I was at school, and she was like, "Yeah, you know, it's only going to get tougher from here." And this was my freshman year, so I started looking at you know other majors that I can get into that was fun and I could you know easily try to you know migrate into and you know be able to do it and be able to be successful with it. So film, TV, and theater was one that I thought would be really cool, you know, especially with broadcasting and, you know, the way of learning sports marketing and how all that turns into coalescing to being you know, all together, you know. So, you know, started with FTT and just ran with it, you know. It was fun, you know, learning about film, you know, acting and, you know, taking broadcasting classes either behind the camera or in front of the camera, making my own, you know, short films, 5 or 10 minutes, you know. That was probably the highlight of my class, just being able to make my own films and stuff like that. I still remember, you know, doing the setup and asking students around the campus, you know, hey, I need you to be in my film. I think you're the perfect role for this and this and that. So, you know, it made me feel like I was a real director, and this is how directors and producers, you know, cast their films and stuff like that. So it was really fun.
That is so cool. I didn't know it was more. I thought it was just maybe just doing sports broadcasting, but you have it seems like you have a passion for like the film and theater side of it as well. Did you do any acting, and can you share with us one of the roles you may have played in college or anything that stands out to you?
So we did some acting. We did a lot of ad-libbing. You know, we'll just be put into a certain scenario and then we just had to act and just kind of, you know, go about it ourselves. And then we had a couple roles where, you know, you would have to pick a scene from a movie and, you know, kind of reenact that, but not reenact it like the character, but reenact it like yourself. And one of my favorite roles that I wanted to do was, you know, because Independence Day is one of my favorite movies with Will Smith and that cast. The president, his speech at the end of the movie was one of my favorites. You know, perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July and we, again, will be fighting for our freedoms, not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. You know,
nice.
That's just the start of the speech that the president does. I still remember it. I remember writing it down and memorizing it. Funny thing is, my coach called me, my coach, Scott Brown, he's my D-line coach in 2015. He called me the other day. You know, we randomly talked from time to time. He called me and said, hey, you know, just talking about random things. He's like, wasn't it one time we were at practice on the practice field and you just started, you know, reciting some lines that you had did in college? And I was like, I thought about it and I was like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, that's the one. So that's just funny. You know, we just talked about that a couple, probably last week. And then now, you know, I'm over there referencing it now. So it's pretty cool.
That is very cool. I think it was it Bill Pullman was the actor, right? The president?
Yes.
That was a good movie. I liked that movie a lot, too.
Yes, it was. One of my favorite movies, yes.
Do you think that, you know, getting this experience in broadcasting, being in front of the camera, being in front of the microphone at the radio station now, would you ever make that transition to maybe go into more film and television as an actor or as a director? I mean, is that something you still have as a goal?
Possibly. I mean, it was never a goal to really, you know, do it. You know, after I made it to the league, you know, I wanted to play, you know, 10, 15 years and call it a day. You know, I kind of just did FET because it was something I can do and also do while I was playing. So you're going to be doing interviews and stuff while you're playing and, you know, learn sports marketing and learn the sports side of broadcasting and communications and stuff like that and start to be able to speak a little bit better. So that was my thinking of doing it. You know, I never thought that I would actually be in this position right now, you know, being 29, you know, 3 years removed from my career. You know, I always had it set in my mind I was going to play 10 to 15 years.
Sure.
But, you know, it's been a blessing to be able to do this. And it's parlayed into other opportunities for me because, you know, my speaking has got so much better than what it was before when I was playing, even better than now. So it was more just for, you know, trying to just get through school, you know, and it's something it was fun and I could also do while I was playing.
So what's harder, working in live television or being on the football field?
I would say being on live television, you know, because, you know, I feel like there's more variables in live television than there is in, on the field, because you kind of know what an offense is going to do, or vice versa. You kind of know what a defense is going to do. You kind of know what a guy is going to do. So, you know, during the week, that's why you do your film study, so you can kind of know and get a gist until, you know, they do something out of character. But for the most part, they're doing everything that they've shown on film. But, you know, on TV, you know, you can get a random question and you not know the subject or not know the answer, and you're just rambling or you're just talking, and you really don't hit home on the question or the answer that the person asked, or, you know, you mess up and you make a fool of yourself, and now, you know, you're going viral for doing something funny, you know what I'm saying, or,
totally,
or doing something that's really embarrassing. So, you know, being, you know, 29 and growing up in the social media stage or age, I know that, you know, anything I say and do, you know, on live TV, you know, can and will go viral, and it'll be very, very embarrassing. But, you know, kind of on the field, you can take control of, you know, what you can do. You know, you can you have a little bit more control over every game because of, you know, the studying that goes into it. Even though there's a lot of studying that goes into live TV, but there's still a lot of variables that can happen on live TV.
Yeah, I think people forget about that too. I always found the hardest part, because I obviously work for 95.7, but I also work for CBS Television. And I always find the hardest thing that getting used to was having a director or producer talk to you in your ear while you're talking live to, you know, thousands of people, and they're talking to you, giving you information. I think that was one of the hardest things for me to get used to in the beginning. I was like, whoa, hold on here. Like, that's a lot of multitasking and a lot of paying attention to what you're saying, plus listening to what they have to say as well. So a lot of people don't know that, you know, like behind the scenes, there's a lot that goes into just... You know, it's not just pushing a button. You know, there's a lot of prep, there's a lot of information, and there's a lot of stuff. So, yeah, definitely I can see how it could be a challenge at times for certain people. But you do it well, and, you know, what are you going to be doing for the game? You know, tell the listeners, basically, you're going to be hosting some shows, working as a contributor. What's kind of going to be your basis, your basic job for 95.7?
My basic job for 95.7 is just come in and be myself, be the personality, be the analyst that they need me to be and that they're looking for on the football side, especially with the 49ers and Bay Area football. And then someone that can also relate to, you know, the younger population that's listening to the radio. So it's pretty cool that I'm 29 and I'm just now hopping into, you know, the media world instead of being 35 or 40 like most guys are, you know, once they get done with their career. So, like I said, I hit a different demographic that, you know, that's appealing for 95.7 the game. But yeah, it's more about, you know, just having fun with it and also growing. Every segment is a practice for me. I take it as a practice so I can keep getting better. You know, I'm always asking questions to people. You know, I think I've asked questions to you. You know, how can I get better? What did I do? Or Greg Papa, or, you know, Bonte or Damon, whoever it may be, or Derek. You know, I'm always asking questions of how I can get better, how I can, you know, be the best I can for 95.7. Because I've always been, you know, used to having a coach to, you know, coach my film or, you know, coach my my technique or whatever I'm doing to help me get better. Because a lot of times, you know, as a player, you know, you don't see, you know, your mistakes, or you don't see your mishaps in your technique. So same thing goes for being on TV. You know, a lot of times, you know, people are too scared to tell you, like, you suck today. You know, like, people are too scared to tell you because you're a former football player. Now, I need to be told, like, I suck today. You know, that's how I know I suck, and now I need to get better, or certain things, you know, I need you to do, you know, project a little bit more or be a little bit more focused on the subject, or, you know, don't ramble or hit the point hard or something like that, or don't talk over so-and-so, you know, little things like that. I'm always taking coaching from, you know, whoever I can. You know, I get DMs on Instagram or Twitter, like, hey, man, you did really well today. I was hoping you would talk about this point a little bit more, but you didn't. I'm like, hey, bro, thank you, man. I appreciate it. You know, always hit me back with feedback. There's no hard feelings or anything like that. I'm always trying to get better, especially for the fans in the Bay Area.
Well, that's cool. And that's cool that you're receptive to that, too, because not everyone, because as you know, being in the public eye and working in, you know, in radio and television, sometimes not everyone's always so nice. So it's always hard to, it's always hard to navigate those type of comments or issues, but that's cool that people are, you know, shouting you out just to say, hey, I want to hear more from you. That's a great sign. And I will say this, when you and Damon, when you came into the studio with Damon and I for the very first time, it was when you left, like the one thing Damon and I agreed upon was like, wow, he has such a great casual essence about him. Like you just came in and you had a conversation. Like there was nothing, you weren't trying to be anybody but who you were with the knowledge that you had, which is great because you actually know what it's like to be on the field playing in the NFL and all that stuff. And not just that, just being an athlete and, you know, just being someone who's younger in this generation too. So you had a lot of great information and you just talked about it. And I think a lot of people, when they turn the mic on, they become somebody else. They become that, oh, let me be broadcaster, you know, and it's not like that. It's better to be who you are. So that that is the hardest part, Ian, and you do that so well. So kudos to you for that. And I think if you keep that, you know, in your mind and in the forefront and like kind of just focus on that with, and just, you'll just get better. And obviously, cause get the game brought you on and you're doing a ton of other stuff. Like what's some of the TV stuff that you're doing right now?
So, with NBC Sports Bay Area, obviously, we don't have anything until the season starts. So pre and post game, this year, and then the press conference live, which is, my flagship, which is like kind of my first start into media, just, you know, getting my feet wet and, you know, working with Kelly Johnson and Laura Bread and Dave Feldman, you know, working with those three has been amazing. You know, just learning, you know, just how to sit upright, you know, little things like that, you know, how to hand placement or, like you said earlier, you know, getting used to having a producer in your ear, you know, with the ESP, the ISP, you know, little things like that people don't pay attention to or know, or maybe, you know, maybe you move and then your ISP, you know, gets, you know, the volume gets pushed up. Now your producer is so loud in your ear, you can't even think or talk to yourself. about what happens. But no, it's all been a learning process, but I've been blessed to be around. I don't know what it is, I keep coming into great situations. You know, when I came in as a rookie, I had a veteran D-line, a veteran defense around me, Justin Smith, Patrick Willis, you know, Paris Harris and all these guys I still talk to this day that helped me. And I saw them, you know, be all pros and be great at their job. So I was, you know, around them all the time. So I watched everything that they did. You know, I was around them and paid attention to everything. So, you know, fast forward a few years, you know, Greg Popper, you know, one of the legends in the Bay Area, you know, I get a chance to work with him and I see him with iPads, information and just scripts, you know, written with his handwriting all over the place. There's so much information and how he flows and just nothing to him comes at a surprise. And he's always prepared for pretty much everything, you know, just watching him, you know, during on game days. And being able to work with him was amazing because I was able to see, you know, what the work ethic, you know, needs to be able to be great and be able to do this thing for 20, 30 plus years in the Bay Area. And then also being around you and being around Bonta and Damon, you know, and then also, you know, I never really listened to talk radio, you know, when I was playing until I was done. And, you know, every now and then I would put on, you know, 95.7 and just be in the car listening to you guys just talking about stuff and Guru and Stymie and stuff like that, and just listening to you guys and how you talk. And basically, like you said, just carry your conversation. Just now, you just have a camera or you have a mic in front of you. Basically, at the bar, you're at Canton Row at Sino, whatever, just hanging out talking. You know, now you just got a mic in front of you. So just keep doing the same thing to yourself and have fun with it. You know, that's the consensus I get from everybody. You know, just study, be prepared, and have fun with it.
That's pretty much all it is. Like, those are the three things. Study, be prepared, and have fun with it. Speaking of fun, before I let you go, what do you like to do for fun? What do you do outside of, you know, when you're not working for NBC Sports or 95.7? I know you're a dad, so what do you do for fun?
Try to stay out of trouble. I try to stay busy. You know, I do my workouts. You know, I still got to look the part. Still got to look in shape. You know, still got to take care of my body. So, you know, working out, you know, movies, you know, I love my shows, you know, Avengers just came out. I don't want to do any spoilers for anybody, but, you know, if you haven't gone to see it, you know, I think you got a couple more weeks to go see it before I start, you know, talking about some stuff that happened in the movie, and then also with Game of Thrones, you know, it's one of my favorite shows on TV.
Seriously? Game of Thrones? I'm obsessed.
I love Game of Thrones. I didn't give it a chance, you know, a couple of years ago, but I finally got into it and I finally sat down and started watching it. At first, it was a little too slow, but when the action picks up, it's really fun to, you know, have so much context to be able to, you know, pull from and just understand the characters a little bit more. And it's been a fun series. That and Blacklist and Person of Interest, you know, know, Empire. There's so many shows, you know, I love, and, you know, video games, and, you know, doing stuff with my kids, you know, seeing them do, you know, soccer and their workouts and stuff like that, going to the recitals at school. You know, it's fun, you know, being a dad and stuff like that. But, you know, I try to keep myself busy with such random things. So I'm a 29-year-old kid, pretty much, you know, so I still try to enjoy being young, you know, enjoy my 20s while I still got it for a few more months.
When's your birthday?
August 31st.
Oh, okay, yeah, you still got a few more months. You got a few more months before the 30s arrive. Have fun with that. Enjoy while you can. Yeah. The 30s are good, though. So don't worry.
Yeah, 30 is the new 20, I hope.
30, I hope so, too, because I hit the 30s. So, yes, I hope so, too. Okay, so really quick, I have to ask you this. Number one, I saw Avengers Endgame actually yesterday. I cried at the end. I'm not going to give spoilers away either, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how many stars are you going to give it?
I give Avengers Endgame a 11 because...
11?
It was... I would give it an 11 because it was just that good. You know, the 3 hours, people were weary about the 3 hours. Oh, it's going to be too long. No, it's perfect. And I wish it went for 4 or 5 hours. I wish it went for 10. I wish it was a part two of Endgame because it was so good. You know, and I've never really cried in movies. You know, it may be a certain part of a movie where I get, like, a little teary-eyed, but I never, like, cried or anything like that. But in Endgame, I actually... this 300-pound former football player actually cried, like, damn near boo-hoo cried in the movie theater, in a packed movie theater. So if you haven't gone to see the movie, definitely go see the movie. It's just so great because it brings so many emotions from, you know, happiness to joy to sadness to regret. To, you know, there's so many emotions in the movie, and they do a great job of, you know, making it kind of a roller coaster type of movie where it's not just, you know, monotone where it's sticking to straight sadness or sticking to straight happiness. It's all over the place. And it keeps your emotions and it keeps your thought process, you know, constantly, you know, thinking what's going to happen next instead of knowing what's going to happen next.
Okay, I'm not laughing because you're crying, but I'm laughing because I feel so much better knowing that you were sobbing. I was sobbing my eyes out. My husband looked over me and he's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, are you not watching the same movie I'm watching? I mean, maybe I've connected with these characters because I'm super into these superhero movies, but I bawled my eyes out.
That's what it is. Like, the first Iron Man, you know, the first movie was Iron Man. It came out in, 2007?
So, yeah.
You know, we've had, you know, almost 13 years of building with all of these characters. So, you know, with anything, you know, these characters get hurt, you know, these characters, you know, get married or whatever it may be. You know, we all sympathize with those characters because, you know, we've pretty much grown up with these characters. And it's not like, you know, there was one movie and, like, okay, like, that was just 2 hours of, you know, of fun. But, okay, there's, you know, there's no attachment to the character. But, you know, you've kind of grown. You've seen these characters grow. And, you know, there's certain scenes in the movies where you actually see, you know, certain characters from back in the day, you know, in the movie and stuff like that. So it's awesome just to be able to see that and grow with that. So that's where the emotion comes from a lot of the fans of the Marvel. You got to be a true fan of the show, of the shows and the movies and the characters to really understand, you know, the emotion behind of crying.
Yeah, no, it was good. And you're right. It didn't feel like a 3 hour movie. I took my 5-year-old. He loves superhero movies and he sat through the whole thing and loved it. So anyone who can, go see it if you have a chance because it's that good. And like Ian said, you got 2 more weeks before he starts dropping spoilers on you. All right, really quick, who do you think is going to sit on the Iron Throne? Have you seen the last episode? Did you see the Battle of Winterfell?
I saw three. So I think it's going to be, I think Daenerys and Jon is going to, I think they're going to share it. You know, they have to. I don't think, you know, Daenerys is going to give it up to Jon. And even though, you know, I hate to spoil stuff. I mean, you got to be, you know, up to date with, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but I think it has to be one of those two. I think, obviously, they defeat, what's her name down there, the brother. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they defeat her. And it's going to be fun to see how everything, you know, winds up. And it's going to be a little bittersweet, you know, that the series is ending. You know, hopefully they do some spinoffs, some great and fun spinoffs that, you know, we can, you know, continue to grow with some of these characters or get a little background on certain characters, you know, that they reference in the show. But it's going to be fun just to watch these next few episodes.
Yeah, it's again, I have been obsessed with the show since the beginning, to the point where I even like Wikipedia'd the family trees because I wanted to know who's who, where they came from, all that stuff. So I think the Jon Snow Daenerys together thing might be a little happy and hopeful for what Game of Thrones usually is, because someone you love has to die off. I mean, that's just how the story's been the whole time.
You're right. So. You're right. It's always been like that. You know, it's been like that since season one, when Arya and, you know, Jon Snow and their dad, you know, get killed and stuff like that. So it's been like that since season one. So, but I think it makes the show so much different than any other show, because a lot of shows, you know, they're so scared to kill off a character because, you know, the attachment to that character. But, you know, it also brings, you know, a level of, you know, uncertainty to, you know, the show. And, you know, they literally don't know what's going to happen. You know, your favorite character, you know, one of the top characters, protagonist in the show, you know, may get killed off, you know, in not the finale, but not in the first one, but in episode four of the season or whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? It's all over, but it's fun. It just keeps you on your seat. Keeps at the edge of your seat.
It totally does.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Ian, thank you so much. I didn't mean to keep you for like 25 minutes, but this was a great conversation. I had no idea you loved movies and filmmaking, all that kind of stuff. So that's very cool. And I hopefully listeners will have a little bit more information about you, not just the broadcaster or the NFL player, but as, you know, a person. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And how does everyone find you on the socials? What's your Twitter handle and Instagram?
So Twitter is iWilliams95, and then Instagram is iWilliams93.
Awesome. This is Xfinity from the Sidelines. Thank you so much, Ian, and I am Gianna Franco.